Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus, the 20th chapter. We'll look at two verses for our text today, Exodus 20, 17, and then we will look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I want to read both of these here at the beginning of the message. This is the final message in a series on the Ten Commandments. Every 5 years, I have tried to preach a new series on the Ten Commandments. And so this is the third time that I have done so, one after another, but through the years I've also preached on them one more time, just here and there. Today's message, thou shalt not covet. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The New Testament, one of the New Testament reports of this commandment. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Brother J.C. Settlemyer once said that this is the last commandment, but the first to be broken. And we'll see what this means as the message unfolds today. The first nine commandments in the Decalogue prohibit overt acts, but this one condemns the very desire to act. This commandment reaches to the mind and the most secret thoughts and imaginations. This command goes to the heart, to the inner man. It is especially designed to show us our sinfulness and our need of a Savior. This commandment, maybe more than the others, reveals to us what we are and the depths of evil within. Covetousness is one of man's corrupt and carnal affections. Turn to Mark 7, 21 through 23. Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. Here, the Lord Jesus is speaking of man's depravity and the source of that depravity. And he says that covetousness comes from the heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The 10th commandment has convicting power. God used this commandment to bring conviction of sin to the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans 7, 7 through 9 here. Romans 7, verses 7 through 9. Paul is speaking, of course. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Paul was a Pharisee. He was raised a Pharisee. He thought that he had always kept the law of God. He thought he was a pretty good man. That's how he felt in himself. Until one day he began to closely consider the 10th commandment. And then through the work of the Holy Spirit in the law, Paul realized how grossly he had violated that law, and he concluded that he was actually sold under sin. Thou shalt not covet. In order for us to better understand this 10th commandment, I want us to consider 7 questions about coveting. 7 questions about coveting. These 7 questions will serve as an outline for this message. The first of these questions is, what does it mean to covet? The word covet means literally to desire. We are not to desire anything that belongs to our neighbor. Covetousness is the inordinate desire for money and things that belong to other people. Covetousness is an illicit craving for another person's possessions. Covetousness desires forbidden things. To covet is to eagerly wish for and ardently long for something your neighbor owns that cannot belong to you. Covetousness is an inordinate desire for worldly possessions. It is an immoderate desire for getting. Now, if my neighbor has a new coat, and I want a coat like that, and I go out and work for it and buy it, that's not coveting. But if I want his coat, that coat on his back, because that's the only one that's ever been made, that's covetous. Sometimes in Scripture, covetousness is described with the term lust. As we've already seen in Romans 7:7, Paul saw his covetousness as lust or unlawful desire. Turn again to Romans 7, or you may still be there, Romans 7:7. Paul saw his covetousness as lust. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So lust is a synonym for coveting. Another term God's word uses for covetousness is concupiscence, which means unlawful lustings for what belongs to another. An example of this is again seen in Romans 7:7-8, where Paul uses the term as a synonym for covetousness and lust. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Said, I meditated on this 10th commandment, and I saw all kinds of covetousness in myself. Though last on the tables of God's law, this commandment is basic and fundamental to the first 9. Violating this commandment can cause us to violate any or all of the other 9. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:10 that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now note that Paul does not say in this verse that money is the root of all evil. I hear people say that all the time. Well, you know, money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root. We couldn't get along without money. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But my emphasis here is on the root of all evil. Is related here to covetousness. You know, if you covet, you may break any or all of the other 9. Covetousness will tempt us to try to get things by any means possible and thus break the other commandments. Judas caused the Lord Jesus to be killed because of his love for money. He sold our precious Savior for 30 pieces of silver. A bank robber often kills people in the commission of his crimes. He breaks the sixth commandment because of his love for money. The love of money causes the burglar to break into a house and steal the jewelry and TVs and guns in that house. So he covets and then he steals. The love of money causes people to become drug dealers without conscience for the lives that they ruin. The love of money causes people to work on the Lord's day in order to get that money. In Matthew 15, 19, the Lord Jesus lists evil thoughts first because the sins and the other commandments follow evil thoughts. Theft, murder, lying, and all other sins against the second table result from covetousness. Look at Matthew 15, 19. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Notice what's first on the list here. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's the first thing on the list. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Evil thoughts include covetousness, desire for forbidden things. Question number two. What does this commandment forbid? In answering this question, let's begin by noting what this commandment does not forbid. This commandment does not forbid the ownership of private property. Now, if you listen to many of today's college professors and high school teachers and media types, you would think that private property is an evil thing. Ownership of private property is an evil thing. This commandment does not forbid the ownership of private property. Rather, it assumes the ownership of private property. There must be ownership or this commandment would be meaningless. This commandment could not exist if our neighbor did not have the right to own his house and wife and servants and cattle and land. This commandment is actually based upon the right of ownership of private property. Nor does this commandment forbid us to accumulate property. Nothing wrong with being rich. The Bible does not condemn being rich or accumulating property. If by wise investment and God's blessing, a man is able to accumulate large land holdings or businesses, he is not by this breaking this 10th commandment. This commandment does not forbid acquiring things legitimately. You know, Abraham was a rich man, and he kept on acquiring and acquiring and acquiring. He was a godly man also. He wasn't guilty of covetousness in acquiring his property. This commandment forbids the desire to own property and things that belong to our neighbor. This commandment defines the limit to a man's desire for property and for a wife. In this 10th commandment, God lists 7 objects that we are forbidden to covet. And these are obviously not the only things we're forbidden to covet. Instead, I would say this is a representative list. Look again at the commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now here are 7 things, and as I said, they're representative, but 7 things we're not to covet. Our neighbor's house, his wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything else that he may own. We are not to desire our neighbor's house. That would include his land, his living space, whatever he owns in the way of property like that. We're not to desire that unless we desire to purchase it from him. We are not to desire his wife. There is no legitimate way to obtain our neighbor's wife. We're not to desire his wife. We're not to desire his servants or his business. That means his employees or his business. And we're not to desire his ox or his ass. That is his means of transportation. Today we might say his car, his plane, his boat, or anything else that neighbor may own. Now this is a very inclusive commandment. This commandment forbids inordinate desire for anything that belongs to another. Question number three, what are some biblical examples of coveting? Eve's first sin was covetousness. This was the first sin ever committed by a human being. Did you know that? Covetousness. Look at Genesis 3:6, where Satan tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And notice the progression of Eve's sin here. Eve saw the fruit, she desired the benefits of that fruit, and then she took it. She coveted that forbidden fruit. Achan's covetousness brought about his terrible death. When Israel was about to conquer Jericho, God instructed them to take no silver, no gold, no other spoils for themselves, but to give all the valuable things to the Lord. During that battle, a soldier named Achan came into a tent and he saw some gold. He saw the valuables of that person that owned that tent. And he took some of the gold. He secretly took some of the gold and some silver and some nice clothing for himself. And he hid it under the floor of his tent. Well, this caused God to see that Israel was defeated when they attempted to conquer the next place, the little bitty town of Ai. And when Achan was found out, he confessed in Joshua 7:21 that his covetousness had caused him to do it. Let's turn to Joshua 7:21. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. Here again we see that progression in the sin involved in covetousness. Note the progression. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. He saw that gold. He coveted it. He had an inordinate desire to have that gold and silver and that clothing, and so he took it. He coveted and he stole. He disobeyed God because of his covetousness. Next, turn to 2 Peter 2:15. In 2 Peter 2:15, the scripture says that Balaam, for the wages of unrighteousness, used his office of prophet to try to frustrate God's purposes for Israel. 2 Peter 2:15. Peter is speaking of false prophets here, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. I think that word wages is key there. He loved it. He coveted it. Next, turn to Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. Ezekiel 33, verse 31. For another example, a biblical example of covetousness. Here, you know, the Ezekiel and his crowd must have been Baptist because of the way they responded to his preaching here. Ezekiel's hearers loved to come and listen to him preach, but they would not renounce their covetousness. They wouldn't turn from their sins. Ezekiel 33:31, God is speaking to Ezekiel here, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. David coveted Uriah's wife and committed adultery with her. Turn to Matthew 26, 14 and 15. Matthew 26, 14 and 15. Here we read that covetousness caused Judas to betray the Savior. We mentioned this a moment ago. Let's read what the Scripture said about the covetousness of Judas. Matthew 26, 14 and 15. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. How much is it worth to you if I will tell you where the Lord Jesus is? Judas was covetous. The fourth question is this. What are some modern day examples of coveting? Well, there are many, but we'll just take a few representative examples here. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, that a characteristic of these last days will be covetousness. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. By the way, this is not talking about the last 7 years before the Lord returns. The last days is everything from the time of Christ to the Lord's return. Everything between the first and second advent of the Lord. But 2 Timothy 3, 2 says a characteristic of these last days will be covetousness. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Covetousness is not something that just rich people do. You know, in fact, poor people could probably be more covetous than rich people. The covetousness of all of us is seen when we buy what we cannot afford with money that we do not have. Does that ring any bells? I'm talking about credit cards and how they're abused. When we buy what we cannot afford with money that we do not have. That's covetousness. In gambling, a person exhibits a lust to possess money and things without working for these things. The lottery is based upon man's covetous nature. Brother, I get aggravated. I go in a store and I want to check out with my purchases, and here's two or three people in front of me in the line buying lottery tickets. And I have to stand there and wait and wait and wait. The lottery is based on covetousness. Covetousness, the love of money, is the root of the awful practice of prostitution. Deuteronomy 23:18 speaks of, quote, the hire of a whore, unquote. It is covetousness that causes a girl to sell her body and causes a handler to control such girls. Ernie Riesinger was speaking of this wicked trade when he said, for money, both conscience and chastity are for sale. It is covetousness that makes people rob God by keeping God's 10% for themselves. Look at Malachi 3:8, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. We need to be constantly reminded of this because of our covetous nature. God says of his people here, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Question number 5, what does this commandment require? As I've pointed out several times in these messages on the Ten Commandments, each one of God's Ten Commandments has both a negative prohibition and a positive requirement. The positive requirement of this Tenth Commandment is that we be content with what we have. Turn to our text in Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." One writer has called the Tenth Commandment God's call to contentment. Depraved men are not content. We are by nature dissatisfied with our position and condition in life. In Philippians 4:11, Paul said he learned to be content. And he had the 10th commandment in mind, no doubt. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul learned the positive requirement of this commandment. Paul also says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. The ladies of Victory Baptist Church have studied a book by Jeremiah Burroughs, the title of which is "The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment." And it's talking about this positive requirement of the 10th commandment. This book deals in depth with our need for contentment with where God has placed us and what he has given us in this life. This commandment requires that we be content with what we have. Does that mean we should never try to get ahead? No. But wherever we are, we ought to be content with it. Question number 6, does God take coveting seriously? Turn to Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3 and verse 5 says that God sees covetousness as being idolatry, the worship of images. Colossians 3:5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry." In other words, if you covet, you're worshiping an image. Now turn to Psalm 10 and verse 3. Psalm 10 and verse 3. This scripture says that God abhors the covetous man. Psalm 10:3, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." That's the strongest word used of God and his feelings in the scripture. It means hatred. The Lord Jesus strongly warns against covetousness. Look at Luke 12:15. Luke chapter 12. And verse 15, and note the Lord's words here that are emphasized. Luke 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, that is, Christ said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. God's word has faithfully warned us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 that covetous people will not go to heaven. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Note also in these verses that the coveter is listed in God's word right along with the most wicked persons. My final question. What can we do to avoid covetousness? First of all, repent of your covetousness. Turn from it. Turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ instead. What God said to the people of Jerusalem in Jeremiah 4:14 is surely applicable to us today. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Repent of your covetousness. Second, how can it be avoided? Beware of the danger of this sin of covetousness. In Luke 12:15 that we read earlier, the Lord Jesus exhorts believers to beware of covetousness. Beware of it. Watch out for it. Be on guard against it. Brother, in this day of credit cards and good jobs, good paying jobs, covetousness is an easy sin, an easy temptation to surrender to. Watch out. Be on guard. Thirdly, Colossians 3:5 tells us to mortify the covetousness in ourselves. Put it to death. I read this a moment ago. Let me read it again. Mortify, therefore, put to death your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's part of sanctification, mortifying the lust of the flesh. Number four, in order to avoid this sin, we must recognize the fleeting nature of temporal things. Recognize the fleeting nature of temporal things. 1 John 2:17 says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Covetousness makes us think that things can make us happy. Have you ever found yourself thinking, brother, if I had that guy's job, if I had that kind of money, I could be mighty happy. Wouldn't be hard to be happy at all. It makes us think that things can make us happy. You know what happens? People get that next job that they're thinking about, and then they want the next one up there because he's a lot more happy. He's got a yacht. Covetousness makes us think that things can make us happy and money can make us secure in life. It causes us to tear down our barns and build bigger. We need to realize that everything we ever own will go from us, or we will go from it. And my friends, it won't be long till this happens. No matter how young or how old you are, everything you have is going to go from you, or you're going to go from it. Look at Ecclesiastes 2:18 here. Ecclesiastes 2:18. The aged Solomon is speaking here of some things that he learned in life. There's much wisdom in the things that he says he learned in life. Ecclesiastes 2:18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. He said, I worked all my life to get all this wealth, and I'm going to die, and the next guy is going to get it. Somebody else is going to get it. The fleeting nature of the things that we possess. Number 5, cultivate Christian contentment. Cultivate Christian contentment. Again, turn to our text in Hebrews 13:5. My, this is a wonderful verse of Scripture in relation to covetousness. It gives a full explanation of what it means, negative and positive. Let your conversation, that means your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. 1 Timothy 6:8 says to Christians, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. One antidote for covetousness is to be content with the lot that God has providentially given us in life. Number 6, how to avoid covetousness. Make eternal things your top priority. Recognize the tremendous excellency of eternal things and make them your top priority in life. That's all that's going to matter in the end. That's all. Look at Matthew 6:19-21. Matthew 6:19-21. Here the Lord Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Covetousness works against the welfare of the soul. It destroys a soul's eternal interest. I wonder this morning, are you laying up treasures in heaven? Is your bank account in heaven, or is it down the street at the local branch? Finally, in order to avoid the sin of covetousness, ask God for the grace to trust in Him to meet your every need. Ask God for the grace to trust in Him to meet your every need. In our text in Hebrews 13:5, the Lord Jesus gives us that precious promise that whatever our lot in life, He will always be with us. Look at Hebrews 13:5 again. Let your manner of life or your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He, that is Christ, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessed promise this is, that Christ will never leave His children. If you're a child of God, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if He doesn't leave or forsake you, then you can always expect Him to provide your needs. He's not going to stand there with you and let you go bankrupt unless you're totally irresponsible and have a lack of trust in Him. Are you a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ? If so, you have this blessed promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the many good things that You've given us in life. We're thankful most of all for our salvation that You've given us. We pray that You would remove the covetousness from our hearts. Help us to be on our guards against it. Help us to make eternal things our top priority. We pray today for those that are lost They've never repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. May today be the day of salvation for some here in this congregation. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen.